Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Multi-Location Marketing Show. Today I have with me Kevin Mollett again and Tim Flint, CEO and founder of Flint Analytics. Kevin, by the way, is the MarketSnare VP of Product Services. I always say that wrong. And he is responsible for managing local marketing programs on an ongoing basis for clients with multiple locations, franchises, dealers, agents, other kinds of representatives of the brand. And Tim's company does the same thing. I'm Matt Nichols, and I am the founder and CEO of MarketSnare. Normally, I'm joined by Elliot Olson, who is a COVID casualty this week, and he will be rejoining us shortly. So I am carrying the baton for the group and hopefully don't screw it up too bad, my hosting duties this week. So this week we are talking about an interesting topic around what was formerly known as Google My Business and today is known as Google Profile Pages.
Business Profiles.
Jeez, I can never, I'm going to say GMB, I think, till the end of time. It just rang off the tongue so much better.
We still say Google Webmasters. We're still mad at Google about that. Right. So, yeah.
So it's now called Google Business Profiles. They changed the name. I don't know why, but they have some reason, I'm sure. They're really smart marketing people. And we're talking about the ranking. You know, how do you rank better in Google business profiles, right? So, and what we also affectionately refer to as the map pack, right? Generally, there's three maps up there. Sometimes they change it from different things, but there's generally three listings in the map. You get a nice map, you get your star reviews, how many you've had, and some additional information. And that tends to be an area that is pretty highly trafficked. So it's a very valuable real estate in the search. And then we have what we would call the traditional organic listings, the top 10, the blue links with the headline and your subtext. And those also provide a lot of value. So we did a podcast with Tim and Kevin as well, where we talked about a lot of the, you know, do's and don't do's, you know, going into local SEO for this year. And one of the things that Tim, I'll let you kind of restate this again, kind of where Tim and through his clients and a lot of the analysis that they've done are seeing the breakdown of traffic between Google business profiles, how many people are clicking on that versus going down to the local links. And the other thing of note, I don't know if this is what you're going to say, Kevin, but I'll let you talk in a second, but the map pack is only triggered on certain transactional intent type searches. So it's not always there. So it's not always relevant. But, you know, if you have a business at the local level, Google's figured out that people are looking for you locally and they're doing a lot more map, you know, display because if they sense that you have a transactional query at the local level, they're trying to get you in, you know, to a map and do proximity. And there's been a lot of changes as well recently with some of the algo updates that a lot of people are calling the vicinity update. And Tim's got a lot of good data on that he's going to talk about as well. So I wanted to get into that. And what does it take to rank well in the map pack versus the organics? Are they the same? Are they different? Is there overlap? So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today and how you can impact that. Kevin, I know you're anxious to jump in here, so go ahead.
I want to clarify for folks because it's a difficult concept sometimes to kind of wrap our heads around is, and you said it there at the end, is ranking in the map pack, which is a very specific portion of the search result page, versus the blue links, which are, they're all part of organic. You're not paying for those. But the part that I wanted to very specifically clarify is your GBP, your Google Business Profile, is just that. It's your business's profile information via Google. Right. So it's not the map pack. The map pack is something that utilizes your profile with Google to display in the map pack. When you go over to Google Maps and you do a query, the data that you have in your Google Business Profile is used inside of that. It's also utilized for the knowledge graph area, which sometimes shows up where it shows a business name and their website off on the right-hand side of the search result page. Again, all of that is organic, and all of that information is fed by the profile that you create on Google, the Google Business Profile. That's the part that I wanted to clarify so that people understood that the you don't rank per se your Google business profile. That helps you rank in the various ways that Google displays that data.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I mean, but nonetheless, you know, there's a lot of technical stuff there, but that is valuable real estate that can mean, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month to a local business. If you're in that three pack, if you're, you know, we know from a lot of the click-through rate studies that if you're number one in the top 10 traditional organic listings, that's garnering roughly 35% of the clicks, plus or minus, depending on the industry. You go down to the second listing, you're at 18 plus or minus 12, you know, third might be, you know, 10 to 12, fourth might be 5 to 7, you know, and then you're just down. If you're like in the bottom half, you're generally under 1% off of page one in the fraction of a percent of click-throughs for that query. So being at the top is super important to businesses. And if you're a multi-location marketer, you have many businesses that are local, you know, representatives of your brand that you have to help shepherd into the promised land. And getting your average ranking up in both of these areas can be a huge windfall, make you look like a marketing superstar like you are. And so we're here to help you kind of think about those things and how to get better in those areas and tactically, and then what are some tech and some different things that you can do to scale what you're doing in your efforts. So, Tim, what we love about Tim and Flint Analytics is that they are amazing at really understanding the data. They look at the data, they track a million things. They're experts at multi-location. They've been doing that for a long time and scale. And so, Tim, one of the first things I wanted to ask you, we talked about in another podcast we were on with you, and if you want to hear a little bit about Tim's background and what he does, check that podcast out about kind of the marketing trends for this year in SEO. But one of the things you mentioned in that episode, and I wanted to kind of have you restate this, was, you know, kind of the distribution you're seeing traffic wise between the map pack listings and the traditional organic, and how that kind of plays out. So people get a feel for kind of the importance of each and where they stand.
Yeah. So we generally see with most of our clients that when it comes to their local sites, and I'm talking strictly local sites, I'm not talking about clients that have national websites with just local pages. I'm talking about actual local sites where almost all of their traffic that they're getting is from like people in the area or people looking for their product or service in the area. Maybe they're outside of the area, they have a home there, and or they're looking to get something there when they go there. We generally see about only about 20 to 30% of that local SEO traffic is from Google My Business. Now, again, that business converts very, very well. That traffic converts very, very well. So we generally see it's about maybe 50% of their leads. But one thing to realize why that traffic number is so low, because you're thinking, well, if it's local traffic, shouldn't there always be the map at top? And shouldn't people always be clicking in if the click-through rates go down? Well, one thing to think about is, one, it's not true that even if it's local traffic, there's always a map pack. And sometimes when there is a map pack, guess what? It's not always at the top of the page. People forget that. The map pack is not always at the top of the page. And so there's other places to show up in that and things like that. So that's why you might see that disparity, even though this is generally very local traffic. And sometimes you'll get stuff out. And if you're in those links generally that are generally under, but not always under the map, sometimes you get traffic from outside the area, or maybe, I mean, you'll see it sometimes where you show up because your city is, if you live in one of these cities where you have the same name as a city in a different part of the country, you'll get very mixed results. Google still doesn't do well with those kind of results, especially if you're outside the area,
right,
and doing that search for something in that area. And so you'll get a lot of other stuff that's in there, and that's why their traffic's in there. But that traffic does convert very, very well. But yeah, so I would say map pack maybe 30%. The rest of the organic is maybe you're getting 70% of that traffic.
Okay, awesome. So you can see there's value, obviously tremendous value in both. The map packs tend to be more transactional. I'm looking for somebody to call right now, and those convert at a higher rate, where the organics still are generating a lot of leads, but you might get more tire kickers, researchers, things like that. And you're going to have obviously a wider range of types of topics and search terms that you're coming up for that wouldn't trigger a map pack as well. So one of the burning questions that a lot of people have that I talk to is, okay, you know, we want to do well in both, right? I mean, obviously you get more bites at the apple, right? If you're number one in the map pack and number one in the organic listings, you're going to capture that much more of the traffic. So you want to be able to do that. That's the holy grail situation, right? And obviously you want to do that across all your local markets and do a great job. Now, when we're thinking about that, what are some of the things that impact your local rankings in the map pack in Google Business Profile, right? And get you into that three pack. What are some of the things they look at, and how does that differ from some of the things they're looking at for, you know, the top 10 traditional organic listings? So is there a distinct difference? Is there overlap? You know, we'll shoot it to you, Kevin, first to talk a little bit about it, and then let Tim kind of fill in from there.
So at its very base level, there are similarities. I mean, certainly if you're a reputable company with lots of reviews, that is a signal that is not only going to help you very much with your map pack ranking and showing up in that map pack, but it's also going to help prove that your expertise, authority, and trustworthiness inside of the regular listing portion of the results page. So reviews would certainly be something that you would want to pay attention to, and responding and having regular reviews, not just a big push and then let it go. But really, and if you think about what you would expect as a searcher, you're really still boiled down to, is this relevant to me? Is the distance appropriate, right? And I don't want something that's 500 miles away from me. So Google's not going to show something that's 500 miles away from you. I mean, you just get over that fact. They're not going to. And the prominence within the area. And again, that kind of goes back to that expertise, authority, and trustworthiness within the area. One could argue that that has a lot to do with, you know, organic mentions across multiple websites, citations, backlinks, et cetera, such as that. But those are three very primary criteria that Google looks to decide whether or not you belong in that spot. And I think we'd all agree that those make sense to at least feature. And then there's a whole bunch more. I'll let Tim jump in and talk about some more that are shared and that are specifically different.
Yeah, I mean, going with that, there's quite a bit of what I would say. I mean, obviously proximity on the map. So if I'm looking at maps, proximity matters to where I am, right? So if I am, because unless you're turning off location services off your phone, which some people do, or you're turning off location services on your desktop, and again, people do, you're going to get nearest to you. And so that's one of those top things from that side versus the other side. Some things that are unique. So you have the proximity, more unique to the maps, because generally what gets you good SEO value on the local, on the stuff that on the non-map listings on a search result page is the same thing that would get you ranking there anywhere, There are some differences. Like if you have locally relevant links, Google does factor in localness, because even if I was to type in a generic keyword like HVAC or HVAC repair or something like that, without a geo modifier on it, Google Maps is going, or Google is actually going to show me local businesses. It's not going to just be who optimized the best for HVAC repair.
And both results set, right? So like, let's say I'm on the north side of Indy and I search for HVAC repair with no geographical modifier. And the business that we're trying to rank is in that vicinity close to me. There's a much better chance they're going to show up on the map pack. Now, if I search and I'm physically in the southern half of Indy, and I do that same search, and the business is in the northern half, there's a less chance they're going to show up on the map pack. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. But on the organic listings, though, is that the same, or is it more like...
I don't know how sensitive. That's a great question. How sensitive is the regular organic listings to your location in the city?
Yeah, I don't think it's as strong.
I don't think it's nearly as strong.
You have a much better opportunity to show up when you're further away from the query location that you're doing the query from. If you're looking at the regular blue links, then you do the map pack. And a way that I love to talk about this is, you know, think about the fact that you're looking for ice cream and you do a query for, you know, I want ice cream. Google expects that you're looking that only what's walkable distance from you, first and foremost, is important, right? And if nothing's walkable, then it's what's drivable. Whereas if you get down into the regular blue links, the regular listing links, that becomes less relevant to that. And that will happen increasingly when the query that you put in, you said HVAC repair, right? Mm-hmm. But if you add like one more word to that, tips or scams or something like that, then the map pack query or the map pack results may not even trigger, or they're going to be different because Google has said, now I'm confused about your query, or I think it's informational, not transactional. And so they show you something completely different. So yeah, my contention is that's very different.
Yeah. And so when you're looking at that, it's the same thing. It's, When you're looking at that, I can't stress this enough. You can show up in the 10 blue links, not the map pack, for generic keywords that are highly, highly competitive across the country, in those results, even if it's not a geo-modified keyword.
Because Google's saying, we know you're in Indy and you're looking for HVAC repair. And so we're going to, because we figured out,
we'll show you
respond better. We're not going to show you some national brand with great domain authority. We're going to show you.
They still will show you those.
They can.
But they'll also show you local because they don't know quite what your intent is 100%. So they're showing
that. They mix them in a little bit.
Yeah.
More. But you can be a lot more competitive. Yeah.
Now that changes completely as soon as you add a geo modifier on it. And we've done some research. Kevin and I were doing some research just yesterday on it. When we look at a lot of our clients, we generally see when people are looking for local products and services, about 30 to 40% of their searches have a geo modifier on them. And so people forget about that. And they focus so much on those big ones for GMB that they forget, there's all this traffic for that keyword with a geo modifier. And remember, those geo modifiers, it actually probably goes up if you're not so there's the main city and almost every city in the country, especially if you're not doing a hyper local business, which is like dry cleaners and restaurants and stuff like those. Those are hyper local businesses. Local businesses are things like your HVAC companies and your other home service companies, maybe your destination things like in the city, like your trampoline parks. Like, that's not a hyper local business. It's a local business, but it's not a hyper local.
Because you'll travel around to go. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll travel to, will be willing to travel to the trampoline park or the climbing gym or the things like that.
Yep.
But when it comes to your regular sports gym, you're probably not, if you're going there every day, you don't want to travel.
Right. Or like a destination restaurant, right? Like if it's like a famous
state. A destination restaurant. Yeah.
Those are different. In Indy, like you'll drive from the suburbs to go there because you're not just trying to grab something quick.
Absolutely. But, absolutely. And so when we look at those, as soon as you switch to a geomodifier, and again, it's really important to know that you should be optimizing for those geomodifiers because they're 30, 40%. And guess what? Those probably convert even better than your generic ones. And so they convert like crazy. So this is why it's really fascinating to us with this vicinity update. And we can lead into that is because what we've seen, everybody's been talking about the vicinity update that happened in December. But the thing is, everybody's been like, oh man, vicinity matters. It matters. It matters in the map pack. Well, except for if you add a geomodifier. If you add a geomodifier, guess what? I can dominate an entire market. And in general, people do. So I did a research study this past week. When we looked at, we used, if you don't know this, Local Falcon. It's an amazing tool that lets you see how you rank anywhere in a city for a given keyword. So you can put up all these dots all around the city and it'll tell you how you rank across the city for the keyword. Now, if you do a non-geomodified version of that keyword, you'll notice your company will almost always, that you put in that you're trying to see how they rank for, will almost always rank very closely, very well, right around their area, but the rest of the city, they don't do well. In fact, when we did this and we looked at, okay, what percentage of those dots that we put on that map did the local company rank in the top three? For all of those dots, generally no one got more than really 30%. No one could get more than higher than like 30% in an entire metro area. But as soon as you change that keyword to like HVAC repair Indianapolis, suddenly in almost every instance, whether it was HVAC repair, fencing, flooring, whatever, the average number that someone was able to dominate that whole market was like 85%. That was the average.
Wow.
So if someone's going to dominate it, they're going to dominate over 85% of those keywords. So Google has not changed that. And remember, that's 30% of map pack traffic is geomodified keywords.
Yeah.
So it's probably 30 to 40%. So that's a huge, so the vicinity update happened, but it didn't happen for everything.
Awesome. So that's really good to know. So, I mean, I guess the takeaway there is rather than just focusing on, you know, the terms from where you know you got to add into your mix of things that you're tracking and trying to figure out the geo-modified terms as well, because you can dominate on those, all of a sudden now you're capturing, you know, more than your fair share of that local market.
Oh, yeah.
And then because the other one, you're really limited by your only, based on what Google is doing, you're only able to get visibility in a certain radius around your business address. Right?
But that goes back to, Matt, what we spoke about earlier about how important it is to understand the signals that prove that relevance to the query in both of those cases. So in Tim's example, in both of those, if you can improve Google's understanding of where you are and where you serve and your expertise, authority, and trustworthiness within that area, that will help for both of those, right? So if you're doing a really poor job of proving to Google that you are in that market, then when you add the geo modifier, it may help less because you haven't proved to Google that you belong in that area, right? Same way with the organic listings is you have to prove that you belong in that and prove that you're part of those markets and submarkets.
Okay. So obviously, you know, we know from an organic standpoint, you know, if you talk to someone from Google, you know, at a conference or you're doing something on research online and you say, what do I need to do to rank better? They're going to say, You know, write good content, right? And we'll figure it out. Now, we all know that we have to do things to help our clients compete better, but content is so important. I think people miss that a little bit, or quite a bit a lot of times, and they don't understand that you have to have that foundational base of content that's quality, that is locally relevant. And the more you do that, that's what helps you get, you know, especially in that, you know, the top 10 organic listings, you know, you start to build more authority with them, right? So that's one of the major signals is obviously content and relevance. And so most of our clients will recommend standalone websites, whether they're on a subdomain or a standalone domain, that is that Google says this is a whole site about HVAC services in Indianapolis, right? And so it gives you that ability to compete at that local level and win really well there. And then we know there's, you know, there's all the technical stuff behind the scenes. We won't get into all that, but provided you're taking care of all that, you know, what are the other factors? You know, you've got your citations and your backlinks that are, you know, showing that you are who you say you are, and that you've got credibility coming from other places. You know, those are very important. Your reviews become very important. From what I'm hearing on the GMB side, you know, obviously your location proximities, super important. I would say probably your reviews, since that's kind of part of that whole thing, skews a little bit more towards ranking there. Are there other things that you guys see are helping you to rank better in GMB, you know, in addition to, you know, your review scores, your proximity? I'm assuming there's some crossover in the authority you're building through great content users coming to your site. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And are there other factors that you're seeing?
I think just hitting on one of those, talking about the content itself, you know, understanding that good content doesn't just mean that you've answered the question correctly or you solved the problem for the query, the person who's made the query correctly. That's the baseline, right? But when you're talking about it from a local level to prove local relevance, that includes mentioning crossroads, mentioning things that are in the area, places, talking about the fact that we did this service in XYZ community or this side of town, and using that local nomenclature and vernacular that gives Google understanding that you're part of that community. You really are part of that area. So as opposed to just writing content on a national level, you need to think more about how do I speak to people who are in that local market? How would I say this? What things would I include? That's an additional criteria that we would add to that.
Tim, anything else you see that's moving the needle on Google My Business or what's now called Google Business Profiles that's different than what you would do for traditional, you know?
That's different. Making sure you're posting photos. That's an important one. You have good photos of your business. You have videos of your business. So your profile is fully filled out within, as much as possible.
Within Google Business Profiles or just in general on the web?
Yeah, absolutely. Within Google Business Profiles. I actually think, I don't know, my early evidence suggests to me that I feel like with this new vicinity update, reviews are almost feel a little bit less of an importance than they used to in some of that ranking. I don't have a ton of evidence on that. It's super early, but I'm not seeing a huge, I feel like it's honestly taken a little bit of a step back. But one thing that is important is, are you responding to reviews? Are you engaged with your customers? When a question is asked, like a Q&A question is asked on your GMB that's public, are you responding to it, or does it sit there unresponded to for years on end?
That's like a ranking signal.
So, oh, absolutely. Yeah, because it means you're engaged.
It means you're engaged. Okay. That's good.
It means you're engaged. It means you're on top of it, because Google's going to want to show the businesses that are actually going to respond, right?
Right.
Is everything up to date, right? Like, are all your listings, is all your data up to date? Do you actually have good business hours? All of those things are going to be nice little helps. Those are things you can do on the profile. some people are saying, I haven't seen huge evidence on this, that you'll raise your traffic by having Google My Business posts. What you'll do is you'll just make yourself more credible and it'll help you. I don't know how much a Google My Business post is helping you. Obviously, choosing the right category is vital. Like if you're not choosing the right categories to show up in, you're going to be hurting yourself. All of those are very relevant things. So just make yourself look better than everybody else. Like the more you fill out, the more information you have on the Google My Business profile, the better. But also make sure you've got a really good website, because that really good website is going to actually improve. And it's going to improve your Google My Business profiles. And when you're thinking about this on a multi-location level, because this is the multi-location show, you need to be talking with your you need to find ways to handle this at scale, right? You need to have services that can help you manage these Google My Business profiles at a much greater scale, and you can get the data from them very easily, and you can see where the trends are going and where you show up well, where you don't. And so that way you can go in and tweak that. But you also have to have the content at scale that supports these, right?
Yep.
And I would add to that, you just need to really have somebody who's monitoring your Google Business profile for people who will come in and suggest edits and so forth. Because keep in mind that Google will sometimes decide to accept those changes if enough people make those suggestions. And so you're like, hey, who changed this data? And it may be that it just enough people have suggested and you haven't gone in and looked at it to say either yay or nay. And so they've decided, well, for your best interest, we're going to go ahead and approve it on your behalf. And so you want to have somebody who's watching that kind of stuff for those changes and making sure that your hours don't get changed, that somebody doesn't suggest that you're closed, which they're doing a better job at keeping people from doing things like that, but it's not foolproof. So
obviously from a traditional SEO perspective, you know, we always think about keywords, ways people are searching for our business. And then, you know, we're kind of grouping those together. We're understanding the importance of them. We're developing targeted landing pages that are optimized with all the right things and good content on those. And then we develop new content about those subjects and do the internal linking. And that really builds that authority at the local level. How important, like, is there a way in, when you're talking about Google My Business, that you can target, you know, what terms you're showing up for? Is that based on the profile itself? Is it just looking at, you know, a well-done website and the content that's there and they're figuring it out? Talk a little bit about that just from a planning, like how do you start to think about what things I should be found for? And if I'm not there, how do I get there? Tim, go ahead.
Can you repeat the question or have Kevin go?
Yeah. No, right. No, just like, are there keywords, like how do you determine what you're being found for in the map pack? I mean, are you telling Google these are the categories that I'm involved in?
Okay.
Are they pulling that in from the website and the SEO work that you've already done? Like how?
They're pulling it in from both. So they're pulling it in from like, what are you trying to rank? What's your category in Google My Business? Right. Like, are you in a proper category? And then they're looking at your website and making sure both. I mean, you don't need a website, right? Because there's tons of people who rank without a website on Google Business Profile, right? So it's a matter of, in that instance, if you don't have a website, they're very much using, they will use like, do your reviews talk about the product or service? Do your Q&As talk about those things? Is your category showing up as something relevant to that product or service? And it's going to show up those things. But for longer tail queries and things like that, having the website really helps you because Google has more to base those decisions off of.
Gotcha. So awesome discussion. I think we've got some good key takeaways here. Like what I would say is, you know, if you want to do better in both these areas, you're going to use your traditional techniques. from an SEO perspective, have standalone websites that, that can build the depth and breadth of content to get you found for more terms, show relevance to both your local geography as well as the products and services that you're selling. And that's going to help you. And then, you know, make sure that you're really active in managing your reviews, responding to those, and really filling out your Google My Business profile and being active in there if people are asking questions, filling out all the different things that they have. And those things kind of all work together to kind of prop up your ranking. And there's no magic spell that you're going to do one thing and it's going to work. But it's kind of the totality of all these things are little bits that kind of add up, you know, to your favor, right? And I would say the other thing that I'm hearing is, you know, with this new vicinity update, that if they're not using geographic modifiers in their search, it's much more heavily geared towards like proximity, weighted towards proximity. So, you know, if you're in one part of the city that, but you still service this other part, you're less likely to show up there. But if people do use geographic modifiers like Indianapolis, you know, AC repair, then you still have the opportunity to dominate citywide because you've laid the foundational groundwork for those things. And that's, you know, roughly 30% of the search volume. Anything else you guys want to add? I mean, that sounds like some pretty great advice going into this year.
Consistency. Yeah, consistency. I would say that consistency is way underrated. And I'll give you a brief example of that is some people will decide that they want to create tracking numbers for tracking phone numbers for their business listings. And their rationale behind that is fine. I get it. You want to know how much traffic that effort is providing. The problem of it is that lack of consistency of what is on your vehicles, what is on your website, and what is in the local listings, all of your listings, including your Google business profile, is creating a problem for you because Google is saying this data doesn't match. And so you want to make sure that you're using local phone numbers, and that's the number that your business uses. That is your number. And now I will say, used to be within the industry, we used to say, hey, don't spell out ROAD one time and use RD period another time. Google has pretty much said, look, we've got it. We figured it out. RD means road. That's not the kind of consistency that we're worried about anymore, but it is making sure that your address is consistent, your phone number is consistent, your categories are consistent, et cetera. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good points. Anything else, Tim, you want to add to this conversation?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well, good luck out there working on your business listings, your Google business profile, and your traditional organic.
Profiles, because we're talking multi-location, right?
Yeah, profiles. So. Yeah. Thank you. And do it at scale. Try to be as efficient as possible. There's some great tools out there. If you have any questions on the content that we've covered, you can hit me up at Matt Nichols, N-I-C-K-O-L-S, on Twitter. Just search for me on LinkedIn, and you'll find me. Kevin, where can we connect with you?
Do a search for Kevin Mullett. Just make sure that there's two T's, not one T like the fish or the haircut, and you will find me in many places.
All right. And Tim, how can we connect with you?
FlynnAnalytics.com, Tim at FlynnAnalytics.com, or just at Tim Flynn on Twitter.
All right. And any of us would be happy to answer your questions, help you jump on a call. If you've got questions on this, or how do you scale it? How do you manage all of this, both traditional organic visibility, local websites, business listings? We have a lot of experience in all of these things and a lot of great tech that gives us ways for multi-location marketers to scale this across, whether it's, you know, 10 locations, 50, 100, 500, 1,000, there's tools out there to do this and allowing you to do more with less and get better and better results in your local marketing. You can make this a banner year in 2022. So until next time, thanks for joining us again, and we'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Multilocation Marketing Show. If you're a multilocation business wanting to improve your local marketing, visit marketsnare.com/podcast for more content and resources. While you're there, book a call with one of our multilocation specialists where we'll dive into your local marketing challenges and offer recommendations for improvements. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week on the Multilocation Marketing Show.